You are tuned to Radio Free Asgard, episode number 92, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin and a proud member of the Comic Book Podcast Network. This is Tom Harris in Chicago, Illinois. Welcome to the show. Hope that everybody is having a good winter so far and you're not too badly affected by Snowpocalypse 2013. A little bit of an in-joke there for those of you who used to listen to Tom Harris Live. Anyway, so before we get started with the review for this week, I just wanted to say a few words about something not really directly related to Thor or mythology or even really comics in general, though there's certainly a comics link here. And I think if you go back and you listen to some of the general comments that I've made in the past before about comic book movies, now some of those thoughts will apply here, as I actually sat down the other night, and this is something I've been putting off for forever, and sat down and finally watched Disney's John Carter, which, by the way, gets my award for the most boring movie title ever that doesn't tell you anything about what's going on in the actual film. And therein lies part of the problem. Now, John Carter was one of those properties that back when I was a young lad, and I would say 12, 13, 14 years old and onward up into my 20s, was one of the series that really captured my imagination. This was a series of books written in the very early 20th century. In fact, they're just now 100 years old, most of them. And finally, after years of waiting, was able to finally see a John Carter film. Now, there are a lot of things about the movie that didn't strike me as particularly good. I didn't particularly like the casting. I didn't particularly like some of the changes that they made to the backstory of the character. There's a few things that annoyed me about it. But by and large, I thought Disney did a pretty nice job on this John Carter movie. And I think that rather than blame the property, which I'm afraid is what Disney is probably doing at this point, as you know, this John Carter movie was an utter failure. But I don't think that that's because of the property itself. I don't think that has any reflection on the artistry of this film, but the design of the film, the acting. I don't think it had anything to do with any of that. It had to do with marketing. And it's something that kind of pisses me off a little bit about comic movies in general. And we've talked about this in the past on the show of how difficult it is to bring a licensed property from another medium to film. We talked about this specifically talking about the Thor movie. I think we talked about it probably on my other show about the Spider-Man movie and the Fantastic Four and all these other properties. But I think that John Carter really suffered majorly from really Disney's lack of idea of how to promote the film. Now, the problem with marketing as opposed to filmmaking is that most of the decisions with marketing are made by people wearing a gray suit. They really don't know anything about the characters. They really don't care about the property. They probably have never heard of John Carter. They probably don't know anything about Edgar Rice Burroughs or how perhaps seminal these stories are to our modern sense of science fiction or space opera, whatever you want to characterize these stories as. I certainly wouldn't call them hardcore science fiction. Maybe sword and sorcery or whatever. But the sorts of decisions that these corporate suits make in regards to a film is, I think, summed up perfectly with the failure of this film. And that is, they look at the property, they say, oh, you can't call this John Carter Warlord of Mars because movies with Mars in it don't do well. Look at Mars Needs Moms. But let's face it, Mars Needs Moms sucked. It was a shitty movie. And that's why it didn't do well. It had nothing to do with the fact that it had the word Mars in the title. So the corporate suits and their infinite wisdom, and I do use that very sarcastically, as you can probably tell, chose to simply call the movie John Carter, which, as I was complaining about earlier, tells you absolutely nothing about the property. It doesn't entice you to go see the film. It doesn't do anything. It's just a boring, boring title. And I hope that somebody at Disney have a look at this property and say, you know what, we ought to give this another shot and, you know, do the Gods of Mars or something like that and actually maybe continue this on. I'm kind of hoping for that. And, you know, because even though this movie was a failure, like I said, I really don't think it's that bad a film. I would certainly not give it a top grade for quality. I would certainly give it, though, C+ or B-, just because, you know, of some of the horrible decisions they made in the course of... They made a lot of decisions that I actually like. I think that in some ways they were very true to the books. And there were a lot of problems with the books themselves, though. And a lot of the ideas that people go see the movie say, well, this is silly, this is hackneyed, this is all this. You're forgetting that this is a property that's 100 years old. A lot of people would probably say something like, well, this big arena scene in the climax of the movie, it reminds me a lot of the big arena scene in Star Wars, The Phantom Menace. But you have to remember which came first. The Phantom Menace was probably influenced by this story. That's something that you always have to consider. Though your average theater goer, they're not going to get this distinction. They're going to say, oh, I've seen this before, not thinking that, you know, somebody copied this and has copied it over and over again, and people have copied the copies. So it's just a little bit of a point of frustration for me that this John Carter movie, which I think was a solid movie, failed so miserably, and that is going to affect the studios when it comes to doing revivals of some of these older characters. We still haven't had, for example, a really good adaptation of the Doc Savage character, and that's because every time they do one, it tends not to be very good, and the same with several other characters as well. But anyway, I just thought I'd say a few words about that, because I think that this movie definitely deserved better than it got. All right, so I have something else to talk about that has nothing to do with Thor, and this is the fact that some of you probably noticed I've been doing a little bit more promotion for the show lately. We've created a promo for people to come and download, and if you're a podcaster and you want to cross-promote your show, you can come to RadioFreeAsgard.com, download our promo, let me know who you are, link me to a promo for your show, and I'm willing to swap advertising. This is something that's worked really well for me in the past. It takes minimal effort to create a promo, and it worked for me really well when I was doing live radio, for example, over on United Kingdom Radio. We all cross-promoted each show, and I think all of us were the better for it. I think there's a lot of great podcasts out there. I listened to a few of them myself, and the people over at Hey Kids Comics, that would be Andrew and Michael, have kindly agreed to cross-promote each other. Now, I may not play out their promo every episode, but every so often you can expect to hear something from Andrew and Michael here, and in return, they will be promoting my show over on their show. And everybody will be happy as long as we all get new listeners, and I happen to think that Hey Kids Comics is a fantastic show, and it's a lot of fun. Andrew and Michael are father and son, and the love of what they do and the chemistry they have with each other as hosts is something that's very, very apparent in their work. So without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and play this promo here for Hey Kids Comics.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Dad.
We need to record another promo.
Another promo?
Yes, another promo.
What are we going to promote this time?
We are going to celebrate Superman's 75th birthday.
75 years?
75 years.
Well, how are we going to do this?
I've got this wacky idea. Now, bear with me. I think we should read some Superman comics.
You okay?
And then we should talk about those Superman comics.
But I'm sold.
It's revolutionary.
Indeed.
It's never been done.
Nope, and we should share it with all these lovely people.
We should share it with all these lovely people every Thursday.
Yes.
At twotruefreaks.libsyn.com. Yes, for 7 weeks, Hey Kids Comics will be celebrating Superman's 75th birthday, starting from the 7th of February 2013. Join us, won't you?
Well, I will certainly be there, and hopefully you will too. Okay, well, we've wasted enough time on non-Thor stuff. Let's get to the review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
And this week we behold with breathless wonder Thor number 380, has a cover price of 75 cents. Cover date is June of 1987. Cover art is by Walt Simonson and shows teeny Thor up against the giant green Jormungand, as we saw him unzip out of Fin Fang Foom last issue, if you remember that. In a lot of ways, this cover is very similar, actually, to last issue's cover. Now, this is a really interesting issue because they're trying something interesting here. I always like it when they tried something new. Tried something interesting, something that really you haven't seen before. So basically, this issue is the all splash page issue. Every page of this is an entire page illustration or a double page spread, which is to say, we've got lots of big, beautiful pictures to look at. Unfortunately, what that also means is that this issue is not going to take very long to talk about because there's a lot of picture and not a whole lot of story. And this is going to be really good. So anyway, we open up to the splash page. Of course, they're all splashes, but the first splash page. Stan Lee presents Mjolnir's Song. Writing and layouts are by Walter Simonson. The finishes are by Sal Buscema. John Workman Jr. was the letterer. Max Scheel was the colorist. Ralph Macchio was the editor. And Jim Shooter was the editor-in-chief. And we pick up on the splash page of Thor in his snazzy brand new armor, flying through the air, and he's giving us a little bit of exposition here as he's getting ready to face the world serpent himself. And we get like Jormungand's view of Thor flying upward, and behind we see the super long body of Jormungand just kind of trailing off into the distance. Yeah, remember, he encircles the entire world, so he's really, really long. So we have Thor, and he's saying, "Now at last has come the hour of greatest trial. And all the long centuries I have fought no foe more dangerous, more deadly, save only the Father himself. But even Loki is less perilous to me than the serpent who encircles the world. For this is the foe of legend, destined to slay the son of Odin. I must soar skywards with the speed of lightning if I am to take the offensive." And we do indeed see he's flying skyward. And then we have a gorgeous, gorgeous double-page spread. And this picture is actually very similar to the cover. Thor is flying up, and you've got this huge face of Jormungand that's taking up basically this entire two-page spread. Maybe this should have been the cover, because I think this is actually a nicer illustration. But we do have a little bit of monologuing here, and we have Jormungand saying, "Give it up, Thor. You cannot fly high enough to escape me or Hela's enmity. I know that the Death Goddess has cursed you with brittle bones and robbed you of the ability to die, thereby unmaking the old prophecies. For if Thor cannot die, how shall his ancient nemesis Jormungand perish? I must admit that I was taken unawares by your newly acquired plumage," well, that'd be the armor, "but gleaming feathers do not give victory, and birds are only mismanaged reptiles." I like that. That's a nice little turn of phrase there. "You will never shine as brightly as a true serpent. Besides, you resemble nothing so much as the invertebrates upon which I have feasted at the ocean's bottom. When I have reduced your skeleton to dust, I will shell you and suck your marrow. Then you shall live forever in the belly of the serpent." And that sounds unpleasant. Thor's like, "You should learn, Jormungand, that not everything that moves is merely food for the beast." And so we have next page. Once again, see, these are all splash pages or double page spreads. We have a full page illustration of Thor, and he's just laying into Jormungand with his hammer. We have a giant sound effect, very much in the Walt Simonson style. Brakath, whoom! And he's nailing Jormungand's head right in the ground. We have a little bit of dialogue from Thor here. "Mayhap a taste of the hammer of Thor will curb your appetite." And Jormungand's going, "Greeow!" And the next page, we have Jormungand striking back with a giant shkash. He's striking at Thor with his head, and Thor is dodging him. And he's saying, "Jormungand is too powerful to be injured easily. Yet the might of Mjolnir in the hand of Thor is the might of Asgard unfettered. and the fighting heart of Thor shall know no surrender. And I notice here that Jormungand, he's killing trees, folks. There's at least four of them. Yes, tree death. It's been a while since we've had a good tree death. Anyway, next page we see Thor. He's getting thwacked aside by the tail of Jormungand with a giant skrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrr wrath, shaking the hills, tortured by hammer play. The earth groaned under Midgard's guardian. Beneath Thor's foe, the hills broke. And the Ormengod says, a hit, Thor, a palpable hit. And he smacks Thor, and like a kind of like a baseball runner hitting a ball, smashes Thor, and Thor goes flying, and he hits a mountain with a huge explosion, and of course, your stereotypical Walt Simonson sound effect, crack-a-doom! Neither asked quarter, neither cried enough. Their weirds held them bound as charms to the wheel. In their fury, they tore Midgard asunder, hatred alive forever in these terrible foes. The earth trembled at Thor's touch. Drenched with blood and fire, the fearful sun hid its face. Locked in fate's embrace, they had no hope of victory, only glory and doom. And we have the next page, Jormungand. He's taken off after Thor. Do you see that? You know, he hit Thor so hard that it really kind of smashed this entire hilltop off, which just goes to show you that Jormungand is probably a big fan of mountaintop removal coal mining techniques. Between that and killing all those trees, well, I'm guessing that the EPA doesn't like Jormungand all that much. I suppose you could also argue that Thor helped him a little bit by being smashed into this mountain. But a gorgeous picture here of Jormungand sailing after Thor. And once again, you know, his body is so long that it actually goes all the way over the horizon. And it's weird because he's got like this chest area. So it really basically means that his tail really is hugely, hugely long and he has no back legs. Or his back legs are all the way around the world, which is another kind of weird to think about there. Anyway, Jormungand is talking, "You were a fool, Thor. You might have avoided this fight for centuries if you'd been sensible. But no, Hela curses you and suddenly you think it's hero time. Before we finish here, I shall make you a believer in that delightful mortal notion that death is only the beginning of eternal life. You shall long for death and live forever. That's the trouble with godhood. It robs you of your finer judgment. A deity so rarely has to pay for his mistakes. I have read the pitiful fragments of mortal legends that survive, telling of the battle between us at the end of time. We are fated to slay each other, godling. In fact, I shall die first, and you shall take 9 steps back before dying yourselves. Truly mortals are the most incorrigible fabulists. Yet here I am in the full flower of my glory, while you wear an iron skin to protect yourself, and challenge me to battle? Little godling, I shall escape your name upon the finest tombstone imaginable. In New York City I shall erect a cairn comprised of shattered buildings. The World Trade Center is not too small a monument for Thor of Asgard. I cannot wait." That's kind of ironic, isn't it? Next page, we have Thor reacting to this, and Thor has survived reasonably well his being hurled into a mountain. And he is angry, and he is hurling his hammer at Thor. This panel is just a huge close-up of Thor's hammer going toward the Midgard serpent. And we have the sound effect, scream! As we have in the past, and Jormungand is, "No! Is it not said, Jormungand, that haste makes waste? Or are such trite epigrams beyond the proverbial wisdom of the serpent?" And next page is the hammer striking Jormungand right in the face, and it's all glowy and explodey, and we have a big sound effect, kakri-ram! And Thor is covering his face with his cape. This huge, just glowing explosion has happening. Rays of light are kind of shooting out everywhere. And on the next page, the hammer returns to Thor's hand with a scree. And we have an up close of Simonson drawing Thor in his new armor. This is really kind of the first time we've seen that, other than on the cover, small illustrations. You know, because we've obviously, Selby Sema has been drawing Thor since he got his new armor. And it looks really hellishly awesome, I have to say. This is great. I get a little bit of more of this narrator's story here. Who witnessed the world's beginning? Who will watch the world's end? The towering world tree, Yggdrasil, totters as nine worlds within its compass shiver. Mjolnir returned, its master called, and no power on earth may restrain it. And the next page, we see that Jormungand, you know, it's been hit in the face by the hammer, and he's flying off, and his body, again, is just hugely, hugely long and stretched out and kind of kinked rather. I mean, it's a beautiful composition here by Walt Simonson. And basically, he hit him right in the face, and now his face is flying off. Because he hit it so hard, it's really flying. You get a little bit more of the narration here. The Titans strove over the shaking earth. Did they hear fading echoes in the far distance? Heimdall's great burden, the Gjallarhorn trumpeting the requiem of Midgard? Who will witness the world's end? And we hear Jormungand screaming, "Aiya!" And Thor's like, "At last, the serpent is hurt. I must press the advantage." And the next page, we see Jormungand come roaring back, almost literally, and his mouth is wide open, and there's smoke trailing from his teeth, and he's coming after Thor. Looks like he's going to try to swallow him whole. And he's like, "Careless, Thor, a powerful blow. But the hammer you wield will not win the victory alone. And in your attack, you have dropped your guard. Farewell, hero. No seat in Valhalla for you. The Valkyries shall never find the body of Thor and bear it thence. Enter the jaws of Jormungand and despair." Of course, he can't die, so he's not going to go to Valhalla anyway. And the next panel is just, it's Jormungand slamming his mouth shut. And you have just a sound effect, crawling, as the teeth close around. Thor rips his cape off, which is kind of, he bites the cape right off. And move on to the next page, as we see Skirash, and we see Thor is obviously breaking his way out of Jormungand's mouth with his hammer. Just this huge glow coming from inside Jormungand's mouth, and there's fragments of teeth flying everywhere. And Jormungand is saying, "Gah-yah-y!" And his teeth are flying everywhere. And we see Thor has escaped. He's flying through the air. We get a little bit more of this narration here. And Jormungand is below him, far down on the ground. And Thor is flying through the air. And all that Jormungand has to say here is, "Sss." And the narrator says, "Heimdall's horn blared. Louder the trumpets blast. In his cave cowered the hellhound Garm, Odin's warrior offspring, Loki's great worm. Each measured his foe, his heart foreboding, as the fates measured their life's length. The battle songs in hope and hatred begun sing no longer. Silence gripped the earth. The worlds were frozen. Even heaven watched, their eyes locked. Would you know more?" I would know more. We change the page and we say, it's a giant, scary close-up of up Thor's nose. Yeah, I think I see a booger in there, actually. It's this giant full-page spread of just Thor's face. And we have him thinking here, "All that I ever was, all that I might have been, has led me to this moment. And Thor the player is merely Thor the pawn. The curse of Hela has given me this chance. And whether my barrow was the highest hall of Asgard or an unmarked grave of earth, my father shall know that his son was true unto his fate. Thor will rid the world of this great evil, no matter what the cost. This father, I swear." And he says out loud, "Come, ye furious storm, ye blinding lightning, ye roaring thunder, gather now to me, that the glory and might of the God of Thunder may stand revealed as never before. The serpent himself has shown me the way. Mjolnir and Thor shall become one, the weapon of destiny sung by the ancient bards." And as if to do the counterpoint to that, we have Jormungand and a big, huge shot of his face. We see that his big tusks are broken and his teeth are all splintered and broken too. And again, once again, we have him thinking and speaking. And he's thinking, "Thor begins to glow so blindingly it hurts my eyes. I will wait no longer. Make your final peace with your fellow gods, Thor. You were a great foe. We are made of the same coin, you and I. Bold fighters with great hearts.
Once you might have been my equal, in strength if not in wit. But my power is undiminished, while yours has fled just like your reason. Even your armor is not sufficient protection against the death thrust of Jormungand. Oh my. And should you unleash your full power against me, you will destroy yourself. You face eternity as an immortal pudding. Not even a fool would court such a fate. So you will hesitate and be lost. And he goes tearing after Thor in his death strike, as it says here. It says, as I unleash my death strike. And we have him screaming at Thor. And Thor is this just like this glowing star that Jormungand is launching himself toward. And the next page we have, you know, obviously full page of Thor. And he is screaming at him from the opposite direction. And it's just Thor, and he's just flying forward really, really fast, holding on with both hands to his unbreakable thong of his hammer, and heading, just launching himself at Jormungand, basically. And Thor's saying, you said it yourself, Jormungand. The trouble with godhood is that it robs you of your finer judgment, and that is why we will never be the same. You are a mighty fighter, but in the end you are only a selfish creature, while heroes... heroes have an infinite capacity for stupidity. Thus legends are born. And he's hurling himself at Jormungand, and they meet in the middle on the next page with a giant cream. Yep, that's really the cream. I guess when you have an irresistible force meet an immovable object, albeit very long, phallic, immovable object, you get cream. Oh, well. Okay. And we have a little narration here. So Mjolnir's mighty wielder surrendered gladly his guardianship of mortals. Odin's son embraced his doom without despair, slew the serpent, broke the world's silence. And we see kind of the coils of Jormungand kind of spreading out. And we see, next page, Thor is falling to earth and he's just on fire. Looks like he smashed Jormungand's head right off. It looks like, yeah, it's like he split it right open and it's basically he doesn't have a head now. And Thor is falling, burning to the ground. The caption says, 9 steps the hero took, striding as a giant. To earth he fell, wrecking not his resting place. And we see that Thor lands like a meteorite with a giant thwomp. And where Jormungand's head is just glowing, once again, kind of glowing like a star. And you can tell he's kind of, the body is kind of falling down now. And we then cut to Thor's body. This is the only page in the issue that is not actually a full page spread. There's actually 4 panels, and each panel is getting closer and closer to Thor. And the first panel, you see his kind of body laying there, and you get closer and closer. And you can see that the armor is empty. At least it looks empty. Silent his hammer, Mjolnir's song ended. This tale is told. Would you know more? Next issue, the old shell game. Yeah, well, you know, Thor has basically been turned into jelly now inside his armor. As Jormungand said, an immortal pudding. So that is Thor number 380. And what an issue it is. This is a beautiful issue, I have to say. I'm going to stand by what I said a few episodes ago. I think Sal Buscema is a great finisher. I think that basically Walt Simonson did the layouts for this. So he didn't do the finished pencils. He did rough layouts of the pages, probably just thumbnails. And Buscema took this up, did an admirable job at doing the inks and finishes on this. This issue looks great. The whole thing, you know, every page is great. And I have to say, especially some of these fighting scenes where Thor and Jormungand are fighting and Jormungand is stretching out. And I love the way that he coils in a sort of angular way. This is all part of Walt Simonson's style. And it looks really fantastic. As a story, well, there's not a lot of story there. It's a big epic battle and it's basically 20 panels. Well, 24, really. 24 panels. And lots of big sound effects. But it is kind of this epic bash, and that's really what it's intended to be. All right, so we are 2 issues away from the end of Walt Simonson's Thor. Don't forget, I am soliciting people and their thoughts on Walt Simonson's run. I'm not sure what episode yet I'm going to be playing these out in. Possibly episode number 95, possibly episode number 100. I'm really not sure yet because nobody has sent anything so yet. Yeah, I really don't know yet. So if you want to send in anything, please feel free to do so. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Do like feedback, and especially about Walt Simons in the Store. Okay, well, that is it for this episode. Yeah, another short one, folks, but we do have an extra long one coming up in a few weeks. So we got to save up our energy for that epic Thor number 382, which will be 2 weeks from now. And with that, we bid farewell. Once again, thanks very much for listening. This is Tom Harris, and you have been listening to Radio Free Asgard. We'll see you next week. An immortal plane.